All right, welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And up front, we're going to talk about some recent back issue purchases. Okay, starting up with My Brave and the Bold collection is looking really nice. We got issue 53 of Brave and the Bold, first volume, that teams up the Atom and the Flash. And it's Adam's on his shoulder, and it looks like there's this green ball following them, and there's a bunch of fighter jets that look like they're shooting at him. And Adam is saying, "Faster, Flash, faster, or we'll never escape this expanding world." And he says, Flash says, "I can't, Adam, I'm losing speed." And this is called the Challenge of the Expanding World. And then, I thought I had this book, but I didn't. I have every issue of Metamorpho, but what I didn't have was Brave and the Bold, number 58. This is not the first appearance of Metamorpho. I still need to seek out. I think it's either 57 or something previous to that. But I have the second appearance of Metamorpho in Brave and the Bold, number 58. And it says, "He's the world's most fantastic new hero, able to change into any shape, from a shattering diamond drill to a rolling TNT booby trap, plus 1,001 other fabulous forms." And it's got a really cool cover. And then finally, we got PT Boat Skipper Number One, Captain Storm. It's a war book, and this is the origin story of Captain Storm. Not his first appearance, but his origin story. So it says, "Skipper, your legs have been blasted." And then Captain Storm says, "It's only wood. I'll get another." So it looks like he had blasted his wooden leg. And it says, "Introducing War's unique wonder, the Skipper, who shakes a wooden leg at the enemy in the book-length death charge called Killer Hunt." So those are the three that I recently acquired. And I had a chance to get Avengers number one, and I was torn on it just because it was so damn expensive. But it was a VG Avengers number one, and I was gonna get it for 700, which is such a good deal because I still have that 50% off thing going on. And he had it marked up at $1,800, and I was, well, actually it was at 1,400, but he had marked it up to 1,800 because he had done some more research on the internet about what it was going for versus what Overstreet was saying. So he had marked it up to 1,800, and man, I wanted that book, but it was a lot. And the last time I started spending big money, I got Batman number three, Batman number like 15, and I got some really big books, and they're still like the prize of my collection. So this would have done that, but it's also not DC, and it's not where I'm kind of focused. So I was torn. If it was a DC, for I would have not thought twice. I would have probably done it for the price that I would have got it. But I kind of regret it because he sold it the next day, the next freaking day, for 1,400, which wasn't what he had it marked up by. But it's better for him because he was only going to get 700 for it and probably make, I don't know. He would have probably made $300, but instead he doubled his money selling it to this other guy. So it's a better deal for Ed. So, in all that aspect, it's good, but in having it in my collection would have been pretty damn nice. So that's the back issue stuff. Me and Barb went with my brother and sister-in-law and niece and nephew to go see Marvel Universe Live, which is a live, kind of like Universal Studios kind of action adventure thing, and it was at the Pepsi Center. Sorry. And it deals with Thor breaking up the cosmic cube into many, or the Tesseract or whatever they call it, into many pieces, and trying to keep it away from Loki, and Loki trying to reassemble it. And it has a lot of different characters in it. It has Black Widow, Captain America, Falcon, Captain Marvel, let's see who else. Storm. I was surprised to see X-Men in it. Storm, Wolverine, just because I thought they were focusing more on the properties that Marvel owns for the films. But we had Storm, Cyclops. Cyclops had a really small role. I don't. There was so much happening in one action scene that I couldn't see him use his optic blast. But I did see Storm strike lightning on it. And the way they would do it is, you wouldn't actually see lightning strike, but you'd see an image on the ground, and then hitting the even evil person. And it had Spider-Man, which is also one that they don't own, but he had a big part in it. Wolverine had a big part in it too. And then you had the Hulk, Thor. I think I'm missing a few. It had Shield agents, Maria Hill, and Nick Fury, and Hawkeye, of course. So it had Hawkeye, and it was a pretty cool story. They had to fight the Red Skull, Loki, Madame Hydra, AIM. It had the one character that was in Iron Man 3 that fought Iron Man, and a bunch of goons that had the Extremis virus and Hydra agents and the te those T'Sari or whatever they call them, Sitari, or they're the aliens that replaced the Skrulls in Avengers. And yeah, it had a lot going on. It was really cool. They did a lot of motorcycle stunts, so with Cap, and there was a scene where Wolverine and the Hulk were going to the Himalayas, and they did a lot of motorcycle stunts. And Cap and the Red Skull did a lot of motorcycle stunts. And the person that played Natasha was pretty awesome. She did a lot of cool fight scenes, and then we had the Rhino, who I always like. I shouted out the Rhino a couple times, and the kids in front of me would freak out, like, "Who's the Rhino?" I was like, "Yeah, the Rhino's there." But they had the Sinister Six, so it had Dr. Octopus, Rhino, Green Goblin. Didn't have the Vulture. He's usually one of them. It had Black Cat, but I don't think she represented part of the six. It had Electro, but he looked like Black Falcon from this Challenge of the Super Friends, or like a Black Lightning type character. It didn't even look like Electro. And let's see who else they had. The Lizard. So it had a lot of those characters. And yeah, it was really a really fun adventure. The guy who played Spider-Man was pretty amazing. He was always doing a bunch of acrobatics, and a lot of his swinging stuff was really, really cool. One of my favorite scenes was a Shield scene. It had the aliens fighting Nick Fury and Maria Hill on two Shield agent cars, and it was really cool. But if you get a chance to see it, it's a lot of fun. I mean, everybody I saw that was, especially kids, they were so excited to see this. And my nephew and niece enjoyed it. My nephew is only, three, so he got tired after about the hour and, 15 mark. A little bit after intermission, he made it. And my niece loved it. She actually came. We came home, we were in Boulder, and she said, I really want to watch a Marvel movie. And she told, her dad, and then I would explain things to her, and we watched Spider-Man, and it was such a fun movie to watch with her and explain things. And it was the Tobey Maguire, because I'm glad it was that one and not the Andrew Garfield, because I don't like that guy. I don't know why. I know a lot of people think he's better, but to me, the chemistry that Tobey Maguire had, and with Kirsten Dunst was just, I don't know, it was like magic to me. I loved it, and I thought Peter Parker was genuine, and I loved all the scenes. Randy Macho Man Savage in it, and really cool, cool movie with the Green Goblin, and it was a fun movie to watch again with my niece. And so it was a busy weekend, and it was so much fun. And some other back issues. I got an exclusive program from the. It was $20, but it's kind of cool. It shows a couple of the stunts in the background, and it gives a lot of character profile. It's basically the plot of the book. Doesn't give statistics on the characters that you kind of really want to get, but the most popular ones, and Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man, Wolverine. You don't get too much of the villains. Sorry. And then you got an exclusive comic book with it, written by Frank Thierry and art by Ramos and Sepulveda. I know he did a lot of DC stuff, but I think it was Red Lanterns and stuff, but he's really good. This one looks like a really thin comic, so I would be shocked if it's more than 16 pages. I haven't opened it yet. And then we exchanged Christmas gifts, which was cool because I always like buying gifts for them because it's fun to shop for kids because I'm a kid myself. And I had gotten my nephew, Barb and I both picked these presents out. We got like Transformers. It was like one of those big deluxe sets that they're pretty big, but it had like Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, a bunch of ones that turn into dinosaurs. I think it was a Target exclusive. It was in a long box. And we gave him that, and he liked that. He'd get frustrated, I think, a little bit, but I was more frustrated trying to transform them because they're really easy to transform, but trying to figure it out was frustrating me. And I've never been a Transformer fan, but I knew he likes cars and stuff, dinosaurs, so it's like he's got to love these things. So I introduced him to the Transformers. Then we got like a set, a Star Wars. They're like deluxe figures. They're bigger than like the Star Wars Black. They're like, I don't know, what are they, 12 inches tall? From the new movie. It had it was pretty cool, and enjoyed playing those with them. And then Mindscape Legos and stuff for my niece, who's all into that, or Minecraft. I can't even name the thing right, but I don't even know anything about this game, but I know she's really into it. And we got her a bunch of Lego sets for that, and a couple of the figures that are available. She really enjoyed those. So yeah, Barb and I got in exchange. We got some cool stuff. We got a salt and pepper shaker with Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy, and I got a Hulk and Wolverine salt and pepper shaker, which reenacts Hulk 181. So that was pretty cool. And then my brother got he like went to one of those like Books a Million things, and he bought me a bundle of comics, Devil Dinosaur. 1 through 9, which I had already, except I was missing 2 issues, so he completed my run. I was missing like 5 and 8 or something like that, and now I have a complete run of Devil Dinosaur. I have the omnibus as well, so this is a Jack Kirby thing, and I really love the book. I had read the omnibus, and now I have all the single issues and dupes of a couple others. So that kind of wraps up the back issue stuff and some of the stuff we did. And now I'm going to talk about let's see what week this is. All right, here's the breakdown. We had 22 books, if I add up right. And we had 6 Marvel Image 2, DC 8, Dark Horse 3, Black Mass 2, and 1 Acclaim. And a lot of these books I had covered on Geek Brunch Retrocast, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You can check that out. But I'm going to start at the 3 out of 5s. We had Bar Sinister, which is a Mike Grell book. that he did for Acclaim. Acclaim had a creator-owned branch where they redid like several books. They remastered a couple, and then they had some like Neil Adams books and Mike Grell books and John Ostrander books. And this was a Bar Sinister is like a bunch of hybrids that a corporation created by merging human anatomy with beast anatomy and like made clones of these creatures, and they all have super abilities, and they're treated like mutants, or this corporation is trying to hunt them down because they escaped. And it is an okay introduction. It didn't have Mike Grell art, so it was just Mike Grell written, and usually he does both. But I think this issue, when it was at Acclaim, it only ran 4 issues. This was towards the downfall of the company. I know CrossGen, when they started to do creator-owned stuff like Lady Death and a couple of other books, they went under too. So I wonder what that is. But it was a good book. I think I would have liked it more if it had Mike Grell art, but the artist that they did have had worked with Mike Grell before, and he's got a similar style. Let me see what his name is. I can't remember. His name was Rick Hoberg, and it looks like Mike Grell might have some art in issue 2, but this is number 1. Came out in 1995. It was oh, this is interesting. It says that Bar Sinister is a spin-off of Mike Grell's Shaman's Tears, which was Image Comics. So they were half human, half beast. So yeah, it had a lot of different characters. Blazin was a wolf, Sigil's a bat, Banner was a badger, Tally was a falcon type creature, Docket was a monkey, Tartan was a black-footed ferret, Signet was a ermine, I don't even know what that is, and Animus Prime was an African lion. And they have links back to Shaman's Tear. I didn't know that. This was a Windjammer series from 1995, and I read issue 1. So I rated this one 3 out of 5, but it's got potential to go higher as I make my way through it, and I have the whole series. So I read that. That was from Acclaim. That was a 3 out of 5. And then I finished the Secret Wars Marvel event 7 through 9, and I see mixed reviews, but I'm going to tell you how I felt about it. There's a lot of people I know that liked it quite a bit. I felt it was cold and not heartfelt, and just a way to put the Fantastic Four on the shelf for a while. And I didn't care for it. Like I like what Secret Wars was. I like the comics that spun out of Secret Wars for the most part. Like I like a lot of them, and I liked Battle World Concept. But I guess I didn't care for this main series that much. It was enjoyable, but it felt like 7 and 8 were just dragging the event on. Like not a lot happened, and then 9 concluded it, where everybody was coming to fight Doom, and it was gonna wrap up like how the world got recreated and stuff. And yeah, it deals with Franklin and. I don't know, it just felt like some Marvel exec was there saying, I'm really bitter about not having the Fantastic Four, so I need you to write a story to shelf these characters. And it felt cold, which is weird because when Hickman wrote the Fantastic Four and he wrote the FF series, the Future Foundation series, I absolutely loved them. And it's weird too because I recently bailed on his Avengers and New Avengers, but then found out I really loved it over the Christmas holidays. So I don't know. I don't know why I didn't. I still didn't hate it. I thought it was a weak event. And it didn't have a lot of ramifications. I guess Franklin remembered most of the. Like he's done this shit in the past with Heroes Reborn, where he the world was created, and this is when Jim Lee came back to work and Rob Liefeld came, and they basically got the properties. I think Liefeld got like Captain America and Avengers, and Lee got Fantastic Four, and man, what is this other one? Iron Man. So that was Heroes Reborn. This was kind of like that in terms of Franklin. And then Doom was having sex with Sue Storm. They imply it anyway. It's kind of like rape because he's like brainwashed her to think he was somebody else that he wasn't. So, I don't know. Maybe if I read these all in one sitting instead of just 7 and 9, I'll feel differently. 4 out of 5, we got Brave and the Bold 180. This was Batman teaming up with the Spectre in the 70s or early 80s. I don't remember the date. And it was Michael Fleishner with Jim Aparo art. And it was a good story. It had to do with a Japanese magician. I guess it was in ancient times. There was two brothers that fought via magic, and one was evil. And then this security guard awakened this evil one, and it went back to recreate pieces of the scepter, and Batman and the Spectre had to stop them. And Batman ended up saving the Spectre with a batarang. How about that? Sorry, I paused a little bit there because I had a cough attack. I have to remember to edit that part out. But it had a backup of the Nemesis, this story. I've always enjoyed Nemesis. This story was really good. And it was the middle of a story. Something happened prior where somebody attached a bomb to his chest and he escaped. And the people that attached the bomb to his chest had thought he died as he jumped out of a plane, and he wasn't dead. So he had to go try to find the creator of the bomb so he could detach it from his chest. And at the end of that issue, things looked very dire, and it was to be continued. So that was a really good book. I enjoyed that. I also read that for Retrocast. And then the finale to Demon 58. Demon is, this is the second to the last issue I need. I read it. It's the finale of Garth Ennis, the Demon series. You know, Alan Grant kicked it off. Garth Ennis took over. McCrae did the art, so they're rejoined in Hitmen and stuff, you know. And they recently did the series for the New 52. The all what was it called? All Star Section 8, and it was a good finale to the issue. It paid tribute to all of the previous Demon creators, you know, like that have worked on the character, including Alan Grant and Matt Wagner, and of course Jack Kirby and a lot of other ones. Even Alan Moore got credit for what he did in Swamp Thing with the Demon, which I had read those just recently, so that was kind of cool. And so that was a good wrap up. He had a cool rhyme at the end that paid tribute to him. And then I read Limbo number 2. This is a book from Image. I talked about Limbo number 1 in a previous episode. It's a bizarre book. It really is about a limbo where people find themselves, I guess, after death. At least that's what I'm assuming. They find themselves in this purgatory or limbo-ish place where a lot of things don't make sense. And this issue even gets weirder than the previous. I don't know why I like it, because it's really bizarre, but it's quite enjoyable. Art-wise, I really like it as well. So I don't usually like books that I can't describe. They kind of frustrate me sometimes, but this one, it's really working for me at some level. So the next one we got is Spider-Woman 9 through 10. This was a wrap-up of the series right before Secret Wars. And this is a really good series. I didn't originally buy this. I don't know what drove me to buy it. I think it was a cover. And then I went back and started it with number one. And I've heard a lot of people say they didn't like it because it started right in the middle of the event. But it really, really worked for me. I really enjoyed Jessica Drew and her adventures. And then in the midstream, I think it was issue five, after the Spider-Verse event was over, they took it in a new direction, and the direction was more a lighthearted tone, like they did with Batgirl and Squirrel Girl and everything else. But it really worked. She was teamed up with Porcupine and the Daredevil reporter. God, I can't remember his name. Son of a bitch. I'll think of it if it comes along. I know him very well. He's been in comics forever, and it's just not registering. God, it's gonna bug me. But it was a really cool series. I was jarred by the last issue because these were the last two issues of the series because it was the end of the world because of Secret Wars. And Black Widow basically said, "We need you to come join us." So she kind of left her adventure that was in the story midstream to go, but it was really a flash forward and then a flashback. So they did complete the story. It was just a weird way of doing it. And it confused me like the first 10 pages of the last issue. But it was enjoyable, and I would like to see how she gets pregnant. In the issues after Secret Wars. So we'll see what happens there. Let's see. We're almost done here. We got Birds of Prey number 31 through 34. This dealt with a battle with the Birds of Prey and Suicide Squad, which is kind of cool. And it linked up Black Canary's husband, which they showed a lot of their relationship in the Team 7 book and the relationship to Amanda Waller because she was part of Team 7. And it's kind of a sad thing for Black Canary the way this ends up. But and it also had a lot of betrayals. Like she kind of betrayed her team by not letting them know what was going on with the Suicide Squad and her backstory with Black Canary. But they kind of break it off. And this is the last issue of that series for the New 52. They had one other, which I already read, which was the Future's End Birds of Prey issue. And Black Canary, as you know, got her own title. And Batgirl's off in her world. And both of the books went in a direction that were more lighthearted. And I actually prefer the ones that are not. The comics are well told and they're good, but they're not my Black Canary and my Batgirl, but I still do enjoy them. Having said that, I preferred Gail Simone's Batgirl much more to the current one, Cameron Stewart and that Babs Tarr art. And Black Canary got really weird and went musical, like where she's the lead singer of a band, which also got kind of weird for me. But it's enjoyable. I don't hate it. It's still like a 4 out of 5. I really enjoy it. It's just different for me to experience some of these characters. And maybe 3 years from now or 2 years from now, as the book goes on, I'll remember the new incarnations just as fondly as I did the old ones. So the next one is I finished up Bloodhound Crowbar Medicine 2 through 3. I missed issue 4, so I just continued it and finished it with 5. This is from Dark Horse. I talked about it in the previous episode. It's basically a prisoner who's got out of prison, is working with the FBI, and has an uncanny knack for hunting down super people. And the FBI uses him, so does the government. In this case, a general uses him to find this doctor who used to work for the government. He developed a serum to give people superpowers, and you don't know what that each person is affected differently. So he's basically able to give them this injection that activates metagenes in their body and give them powers. And it has a lot of tragic moments, and Bloodhound does lose a loved one, and but it has a really good story as he goes after this doctor who's killing people left and right. He becomes bitter because he loses a son and loses his wife, and becomes bitter towards metahumans. And the way he solves it is by making metahumans and letting them go nuts. It's a really weird story, but it's really cool. And I hope we see more of Bloodhound, even if it shows up in Dark Horse Comics Presents. I'd appreciate that. And then Scarlet Witch number 2 was a 4 out of 5 as well. Didn't have Vanessa Del Rey artwork, which I was disappointed in, but it still continues her as a like done in one stories, and I think that's why they have different artists for every arc. This she's investigating she's actually talking to a Greek goddess, and she's going to Greece to investigate like a minotaur killing people, and it actually turns out that some witches empowered Manbul, I remember him from Daredevil, to kill a lot of people, and Scarlet Witch has to use her magic and abilities to stop it. And it's kind of like putting her in a case like a different case every issue, and having her solve it with a different artist. So now we get into the 5 out of 5s. We got the Beauty number 3. Amazing series. This one, they actually find out more, and they that gets them into trouble with the corporation that's trying to hide the beauty. And there's an organization that has the cure or ability to cure the beauty, and they kind of are teaming up with them. And you don't know at this point whether that group is legit, because they capture our cops, the cops that are infected as well. And it's getting really interesting. This book has consistently been one of my favorite Image books and one of my favorite reads. It's been a 5 out of 5 pretty consistently. And then I rated some 3 out of 5s earlier. But the way Trinity of Sin with Phantom Stranger, Pandora, and The Question ended, I absolutely loved it. It kind of had inner dialogue of the Pandora telling one story and Question telling another story, and one of the inner dia they actually brought back Dr. 13, who I thought was dead, and I absolutely loved it. So yeah, I'm biased towards the Phantom Stranger, but I really enjoyed this series by J.M. DeMatteis. I think he's done like magic with the magical characters in the New 52. Like, I am digging the shit out of what he did with Justice League Dark, Phantom Stranger. Ray Fox was doing Pandora, and there was one other one. But whatever they did really, really well, and I really enjoyed the Trinity of Sin, and this was kind of like the climax, and it ends with a question mark, and I hope it returns in some form. We'll see, because they are gonna relaunch their books. It's not a reboot; it's a relaunch with a focus on their film properties. So who knows if we'll probably get about 50 books, or less. Somewhere I'd say between 45 and 52 monthly books, relaunching at number one. I don't know if we know who's taking over what yet, or what it's going to be. We just know they're going to be more movie themed with the characters. I don't know if they're going to go the movie direction or just focus on the characters that are popular. But I think they're keeping the New 52, from what I read, continuity intact. I think a relaunch is needed just to compete. I think it's fine. I love DC. I don't give a shit what they do. I'm gonna love it anyway because it's all about the characters, and it's all about evolution, and it's all about history, and it's all about change. And I really like that kind of stuff. So to wrap this up, we already talked about this in the last episode, but we had the climax to 12 Reasons to Die, issues 5 and 6. And this was the Ghostface Killah stuff, and we saw the merge of the two stories. One was the Haunted Records, and one was the rise of a mafia guy that wanted to become part of the mafia family, and they didn't let him, so he formed his own organization. Well, the climax of this, in a nutshell, was this mafia guy actually became hunted down. Man, it's starting to snow like crazy. It's supposed to snow for 2 days straight. But the mafia guy got hunted down by the family eventually, and they used one of the lead mafia guys that he worked for, his wife, to lure him in, because this African American mob guy that was the up and coming guy, he's like the Ghostface Killer, but he actually was fucking one of the mob guy's wife, and they used his wife. He kind of like loved her, and it was really weird. It was a really weird relationship, but she loved him, but they were beating her, and he kind of used him to lure him in, and they ended up killing him, and he fell into this. It's kind of like a vat, like. In which they it was made it was like vinyl vat, which they used to make vinyl records. Well, it turns out this guy is the guy in the records. So the guy collecting the records, he's the main mafia guy whose wife he slept with, and he's just trying to have this other guy, who's pretty effective, collect these records, but just so he can lock them up and have nobody touch them, because he's got a good idea what's happening. And these records kill all his brothers and all his family until the mob boss. And they do it when it's like in the future time when they're all old. So, like, in the first part of the story, they're young mafioso guys. In the second part of the story, they're kind of like retired mafia. And a lot of the guys are arrogant and shit, and they play the records, and Ghostface Killer comes and kills them in a sadistic way, kind of like the Spectre would. And I don't know, it's a really good series. I recommend it. It'll probably be hard to find. It's one of those Black Mass titles, and they're kind of rough to find because of low print runs. But if you can, I'd recommend it. So that wraps up this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And I hope you enjoyed it. Please leave feedback either by email or Twitter. Let me know you listened to the episode. Let me know what you like, what you're reading, blah, 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 at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Or Mike Myers Brunch at Twitter. And we're located at Geek Brunch Podcast. And also on Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. The Facebook is just Geek Brunch Podcast. You can click the like button and follow all the episode threads there. If you could share any tweets and get the word out on the show, if you like it, it would be really helpful. And if you do happen to use iTunes for your podcast listening, I would love to see a new iTunes review. So, having said that, we'll talk to you later. As I think about a contest to give away some extra trades that I actually have, and maybe even an exclusive Valiant podcast, Valiant comic, an Armor Hunters one. So, that being said, I hope you guys have a good time, and that wraps up this episode. So, talk to you later. Bye.